From the founding of them.
You just said there's a mechanism there where, like, people, if they didn't work for the company, they couldn't live here.
Well, it was, that's how it originated, and it pretty much stayed that way up until the companies were broke up and the people, you know, and the Sojays are the founding, like, fathers of the village, and we changed the name from Monsanto to Sojay in 68 in honor of Leo Sojay, who had been the mayor, I sent some of the papers there, for many, many years. And him and my grandfather were good friends. He was at my wedding right here in this room we're in. This is where I held my wedding reception, and everybody else did. Crepe paper hanging and bells. We didn't have to spend $100,000. If you spend $100, you might have on crepe paper. But that's, you know, just the steps from that to now. There is no girl I know would have her wedding in this hall because, oh my goodness, it has to go to the fancy hotel and the ballroom and the, you know, whatever. Those are weddings, we got a marriage, you know? And I forgot the question you asked. I started running my mouth and forgot, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm interested because your grandfather moved here with your grandmother.
So yes. Before he worked at Monsanto, he was a streetcar trolley driver. And they came in from Murfreesboro to work in the big city of St. Louis. And my grandmother met him on the streetcar. And they lived in Murfreesboro, a town down in southern Illinois. And that's how they met. They got married and fell in love and all that good stuff. They might have fallen in love and then got married. I don't know. But I wasn't around then. But they told the stories, and it was lovely. And they were very, very much for life married. Because that's what you did. You didn't question that. You worked things out. You kept your problems at your home behind your door and worked them out. And of course, in most of the marriages from then, the 30s, 40s, those people stayed for 50, you hear of them, 50, 60 years married. That's how it started. And then we're here. And then their three kids have, all of us kids, came from that. And Leo Sojay, the first Mary, have all these parties up here for us. We come at Christmas. Your grandparents, of course, or your mother and dad, knew what to bring and give him for his bag. And he'd come in and ho, 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 and give you a little gift. To this day, they still have the parties. They're getting ready to have a Halloween party for the children of the village. There's just not many of them anymore.
What was Sojay, I'm forgetting his first name.
Leo?
Leo. He was a
farmer.
Oh, so before that. But
2,000 acres.
He said he was in the higher echelon. So.
Well, I would call that. He owned everything. Okay? They still do. I mean, and I don't think it's a bad thing. Because I own my house that I live in here, but I can't tell you the benefits I get from living in this village. If I'll tell you something very simple, I haven't bought a trash bag since I moved here. I remodeled my home. They set up a big dumpster out there. I didn't pay for that. They did, because I improved the neighborhood and the home. And they're very much oriented to the people who live in this village. If you have a problem, they have a maintenance crew. I have people I can call. The older people, you're checked on in the winter. Somebody knocks. I lived in San Diego for years. I didn't even know who lived next door to me or anywhere else around me. And I lived there a long time. So there's a very big benefit to your children and to your family when you live in a small area. You have a family. And without family, what have you got? One single nothing. And nothing to leave it to. Nothing to tell your story to. I loved my grandparents because they told me, my grandfather told me stories about the chemical company and the computers are taking over. And Charlotte was right in the middle of those computers. And he says, "What are you doing?" I'm like, well, and I explain to him, and he would explain to me the company And it was putting people out of work. No, it wasn't, Grandpa. They got to learn what I know. And they'll still work. And it's the way the world is running to today, where I have fought until yesterday. 41 years of computers. I just had it installed in my house. I did not want a computer in my house. I didn't want a PC. I don't want to play games. I'd rather talk to you. I don't want to get involved and play in Candyland or somebody. But now I've got it because my grandkids are coming from California. Well, Grandma, we can't stay with you because you don't have Wi-Fi. And I'm like, this spells work to me, and it spells play to them. And I was out to dinner last night, couple, maybe 40. They were talking to each other across on their phones. Look in their eyes and talk. My friend is here, Gloria. She said to a couple the other night when we were out, she says, would you put down your phones and look at her? That's your wife? Yes, that's your husband. And you don't even know the color of her eyes. I mean, I see a disconnect. There's something out there now, maybe you can explain this to me, to be ghosted. All of a sudden you're ghosted. Somebody just exits out of your life. They don't say goodbye. They don't tell you, hey, you know what? I really don't like how much you talk, so I'm not going to date you anymore. They don't say anything. They just gone.
I can't explain that.
Why are they?
I'm very emotional about the whole family thing. I'm going to call my mom.
Well, yes. You call your mom because guess what? You might not be there tomorrow. She might be, but you might not
That's
be. Because my son died at 30, well, he was 31, turned 32, and a couple days later he died from cancer. Did I expect to lose a brother? I mean, my son, my daughter did not expect to lose a brother. So you never know who those you love when they're going to go from your life. Don't ever leave somebody mad. Never. And don't ever say you won't do it, because you might. Don't ever say never. And that's just an old lady talking to a couple of young kids. And I'm sorry for expressing that. I didn't mean to bring something up for
we've
you.
No, we've had an emotional day. We've been
a very emotional.
Talking about families and stuff like
well,
that.
You just never, my daughter, we Skype. And I talk and say goodnight to my grandkids. And they are three children that she's raising alone right now. They're all autistic. The first little boy was adopted, and 3 months later she had a birth baby, because that happens a lot when you adopt. And she was 6 weeks old. We knew she was autistic. So 7 years ago she had Tobin with a new marriage, and Tobin's autistic. So we did some background work. And this comes from the Hutch family, from her father, and it's in her blood. Back in the 30s and 40s, they put autistic children who wouldn't speak and did this all day in homes for the criminally insane. Or Alton used to have one, a home for people that couldn't communicate with the world. And thanks to my training in autism and raising her children until they were seven, I am very close to these children. Well, they were seven when I moved here, back home to retire. Don't, just because somebody can't speak, they can hear maybe. Or if they can't hear, they can speak.
Small pictures, little ears. What did you say?
That's
little pictures.
Little
ears.
Pictures have big ears. Because they don't speak, they're listening. Now I have to take back my words on the devices. Because my little grandchildren, this is why I had Wi-Fi connected to my house yesterday, they go through devices to communicate. They don't look at you in the eyes. They're afraid of you. They box themselves. They all have different they're very, very smart children. You hardly ever hear somebody who says the kid's autistic that child doesn't have some great communication with the world that you don't know. My grandson is 18 and plays and builds Lego blocks still.
Did Charlotte leave?
I'm Charlotte.
Is Cookie leave?
Do you have any data?
You're younger than me, girl. This is my cousin.
Do we need to get a ride out of here? We don't want to.
No. I can walk home.
Oh, you're right.
I'm right there. No, my girlfriend Gloria Cookie, whatever, she went with him to and I don't walk so well, so I don't like to slow anybody down. So I stayed here because you were sitting back there waiting to grab me. No, but I didn't mean to get off on my grandchildren.
No,
but okay. I didn't mean to bring up something that hurt your heart either.
Oh no, not hurt.
It's just
with some things we've been thinking about, I think.
Well, I think that sometimes you lose communication with my granddaughter is 30 from my son. I have two normal grandchildren from my son who passed. And I have these two children. She looks so similar to you. She turned 30 on October 3rd. She turned 30. My son died October 3rd. And my mother's birthday was October 3rd. And she went to Tokyo to see the opening of some new Disney World or land or whatever, because she has now been to all the Disneylands and worlds in the whole world. And she wanted to do that on her 30th birthday. And I had to call her in Tokyo to tell her happy birthday because it was the third over there, but it wasn't that here. And then she was on a plane 18 hours on her birthday. But she is not married and have children because she suffers from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which her father died of, and he died on her birthday. And she's very concerned about what you pass on. And she's not wanting to do that. But she teaches in San Diego autistic children, because she knows from my daughters, her cousins, and what my daughter goes through. And I'm sorry that something happened. You look like you are hurting. Your whole soul is like you need some energy. Like you really need this really big hug. Are you a touch me not kind of person?
Not even a little bit. No, I love touching you.
Are you connected?
He's got to fly to Switzerland.
I have to get on a plane later. I'm a bit like,
oh, Switzerland's lovely.
It's okay.
Gorgeous. My daughter loved it there. She dated a guy from there. Because I used to run an international schooling in San Diego to teach English. And a gentleman came, a boy came there, because his family owns a hotel in Switzerland. And he needed to learn English because so many of us go there.
I'm trying to learn German.
And yeah, you have to know the languages. I feel very inept because I only know English. But I took French because I was going to be a designer and all this kind of thing and be like Coco Chanel. And, you know, I used to sew wedding dresses and make them. And I was going to do this. But instead, I become a computer nerd. So
can I ask a question just
there? Yes, sir.
I can't handle all this emotion, so.
I'm sorry.
No, I was.
When's your birthday?
June 20th, 1976.
1976, June 20th.
Yeah. What does that mean?
That means you're Gemini on the cusp, and that means that you are what you are today, you're not tomorrow. Because you can flip. That's the twins, the sign of the twins. But you're always connected to the middle guy inside your body, and you go back.
Yeah, we talk about erraticness a lot.
Sometimes you'll get this guy, and sometimes you'll get that guy, but never will he not be interesting.
True.
Because when's your birthday?
December the 10th, 1983.
So you're a Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. She's going to get her way. You might as well just give it.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Sagittarius are fire signs, and they get their way, or they'll burn you.
No problem. I'll get out of the way.
You don't have to get out of the way.
Saying,
no.
You go your way, I'll go too.
I'll go your way too.
I'll go your way
too. As in T-O-O, like also.
Yeah.
Which that means
like
also.
The definition of love to me. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Way,
if you, I'm going to go with you, no matter. Mm-hmm. And then it's love. If it's not love, you go, you know, my job is more important. I'm staying here. And follow you to the ends of the earth is what they used to say in the 40s. You know? Or if that's all there is, then let's keep dancing. Bring out the booze, we'll have a ball. Because that's all there is.
Well, thank you.
And love is all there is. And if you don't have it, you have nothing. Now, I'm not going to say if you don't have children, you don't have nothing, because too many people can't even have them. But you have to have friends. Some of my friends are much closer than family. And some of them aren't. You know, I've got six brothers that are, you know. Anyway, you had questions? Other questions?
I get the impression
no,
that it was
my
times.
Happy childhood was in Sauget.
Yeah.
I have another Charlotte that lives a very destructive life with a destructive home, with a very abusive home. And my father died when I was three in a plane crash, and my mother married his brother. We become a split family because my father died in that plane crash because of my mother wanting to divorce to marry his brother. Okay, you can put all the rest of the pieces together. You have a complete family that is a mother who has two sons who doesn't know what to do. I'm too little to know of why all this abuse is going on or why all the things are happening, but I have two grandparents right here, my mother's family, my grandpa and my grandma Reeves, that protected me and brought me here a lot. And then eventually, when I was able to, brought me here to live, back to my roots, because I lived here until I was six. And I had to leave here because I wasn't old enough to have a choice. And my brother David lived here for the same reasons. We were the children of Charles. And my mother's second marriage, the man was very... Anyway, it's a sad story. But I hope that I do live the happiness of my life because that's what I gave my kids. I refuse to give in to an abusive, and if I know somebody's in abuse, this is why I'm a big person. I eat my emotions. I go to Overeaters Anonymous because when I get upset, I eat. And pretty soon I'm going to be as round as I am tall. And I built this shell of happiness, which if you can't make it, fake it. Fake the smile if you got to, because it's not worth the sadness. But when little children are hurt, it bothers me. I don't want to see a little kid. That's why Mr. Sauget, Leo Sauget, having Christmas parties since the day one, given to these children of the village. If they got nothing at home, they got something here. If they get no candy bar on the Halloween night, they're going to get a candy bar here. They're going to get it in the park now. But they're going to get some candy. And that a child that grows up in this village is a very privileged child to me, because I don't see anything different in the children that's running this village now, because I get my free trash bags and I get my sewer. And everything is just, if I call, the police go by my house, all these houses in the night with a spotlight. They check us and make sure we're okay. And I know if I go out on my porch and fall down, somebody's gonna get me. You know, if my cousins don't, they're not gonna just leave me lay and rot in my house for days.
Is that an impression that people around here have of the area? Like if you move to Sauget, is it like a great move? Like people want to live here?
Except for the taxes, yes. And the reason the taxes are such is because we're not big enough to fight East St. Louis and Cahokia. And they have a very reputation of, it's a bad reputation. Although East St. Louis did not have a bad reputation when I was needed at Cahokia. These are things that have happened since I've become an adult and left. But it's very hard. I wouldn't want to live in Cahokia or East St. Louis. But I, at one time, have lived in both. I went to Eastside High School. But were sandwiched. And this, people don't even know this is here. You drive down the highway out here, or on the 255, you don't see this. You don't see these little streets with all these little houses. I have a friend who lives in North St. Louis, comes to visit, sits on my porch, and we're talking, and the police go by and wave. Half hour or so, they come by and wave. And that's just happening, and she's going, "What? Is something wrong? Are you going to get in trouble for having me here? She is not of our race." Okay. I just see she's not white, of the white race. So you can be from a lot of places and be white, but you're not the same, you know? She was afraid she was getting me in trouble. And I'm like, no. She said, "Oh, I wish my kids could sit out on the porch. They'll get shot at." And I know this area in St. Louis, where she lives. Used to be a beautiful place, but now it's a dangerous place because we're living in dangerous times. We had to worry about a kid blowing up your mailbox with a firecracker. And now the children can't even go to school because somebody might get mad and come in the school and shoot them down. You can't. Kids, I worry about these kids. I worry about our tomorrows, although my body won't be here, but I know my soul will be. Because I believe in where you planted is where you are. Now, where God set you, that's where you're supposed to stay. But I didn't. I traveled from coast to coast, lived from coast to coast. Lived Florida, lived California, traveled New York, traveled. I traveled with AT&T. Taught other people to run computers. And then I worked for the government. And that's a whole nother ballpark, our government.
Did you work here in the computer industry or no? You
worked here in this building?
No, in the area. Like, were you?
Oh, no. I worked across the river, which is the bridge is right out there. A 5-minute ride off the each bridge. Poplar Street wasn't there. But AT&T had their mainframe computer down on 7th and Olive at the time. They now are huge. But they're not huge either. They've been broken up many times. But in fact, we had a big break in the 70s, big strike. I crossed the picket line. I was a boss, had to go in there and run the computer. Somebody had to run it. And my ex-husband was a very strong union man and lost his job because I crossed the picket line. We got divorced. Because I went and quit my job, and he went on. He was a pipe fitter, strong union man, and there was a lot of issues back then on that. But then that's when all of AT&T busted because they were a monopoly, and all these other little phone companies come along, and now you got all this going on. And I had two children to raise, so I went to the government for security. I got me what they call a good government job. Can't get rid of me for nothing. And I went from a GS-2 to an 11 with the government. Because I eventually worked my way right up there to being the boss over their computer mainframes. So I have been in computers for 41 years, I say, mainframes, because I'm not a PC person. I understand it all. I've ran PCs in other businesses I've worked for. But my main jobs were AT&T in the government, but I've had lots of little jobs along the side in California, only because you can't live in California unless you got 2 or 3 jobs. I mean, it's really, really big.
Was there an interaction between the computer job you had and the buildup of industry here?
Yes, at Monsanto, but I did not operate those Monsanto computers. My grandfather was greatly affected by it. Because what he did with the crane operating and building Monsanto became computerized. And he was getting close to retirement. So he was like not wanting to learn that. So he also owned race cars and loved to race. So he decided, well, he retired. There was years that you retired. At 65, you retired. I'm in California working. I have people in my family retiring at 50, 52, 53. I'm going, what? I love working. I can't work anymore. and you're going to retire at 50? I can't put that together. People work till they're 60-something. I know people who work, and they're 80.
And that's 67, and I'm still working here.
Yeah. Well, Bob Cuban, I have a very good friend who's a musician. He's still playing the drums at 79. He played for Rich's, one of his daughter's weddings. Bob Cuban and the Inn Men.
Yeah.
Well, I work for them. I work for Bob. And
they
played
at the Admiral.
Yes, in the 70s. He went on the riverboat up and down. Yeah. Then he played for the Cardinals, and he played for the Rams. He's played for everybody.
Yeah.
And he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, Walter Scott was murdered in 83. Yes, they buried him in a cistern.
Yeah,
dropped him in the cistern, built a flower pot on top of the cistern, and they didn't find him for 3 years because nobody knew to look in the cistern.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, they blamed Bob for it. But anyway, these pictures are here because she left them for anybody who wants any of them. I didn't see those over there, so I don't know that.
Can you bring them over?
But, do you have anything you want to ask that's relating to what you are into? You are into environment?
Well, yeah, we are. But we're just interested in the world, really. Like
in the world.
Yeah, we're just interested in systems and lives.
Aren't we such a small dot? Have you ever gone up in space?
No.
Have you ever gone up in space?
No.
Who's been up in space?
Well, my little grandson wants to be
an astronaut.
Cool. And I was involved, my Uncle Paul was involved in building the first one that went up and put the satellites up. And he worked for McDonnell Douglas. He was an engineer. And they coincided with California and Florida and did a lot of this. So I consequently, my Uncle Paul understood my computer work because he did this as, you know, Houston, we got a problem thing with all those people. And when we went to the moon, I was very much involved in watching it and seeing it and how exciting it was.
Wow.
And you see the pictures and we're this little dot. And you go up in a jet, you become an ant down here. You look out that window, you're going to fly to
Switzerland.
And you're going to go across the ocean.
Yes, indeed.
Can you swim?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.